Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And the Bible gives us the reasons that we know that God works all things together for good. He begins to explain that in Romans chapter 8. And he explains it by speaking of his plan of redemption that takes place in people's lives and the whole process that's involved to in our salvation. For whom he did foreknow. And we mentioned last week, this is the very important text in the Bible. The book of Romans is written before the book of Ephesians. It puts Ephesians in correct, a correct setting. You take Ephesians and you eliminate the revelation that's already taken place in Romans 8. You can make it say something it doesn't say. A lot of people do that. But here it says whom he did foreknow. And we can't understand or comprehend the foreknowledge of God. But it tells us all starts with the foreknowledge of God, just as Christ was ordained from before the foundation of the world to be our Savior. And because of God's foreknowledge of Adam's sin, improperly deducted, it would tell us that God was the author of evil. And God had it planned that Adam would sin. Etc. And you can say, take the same theological truths, mistruths, to this passage, to election, and we're trying to make sure we don't do that. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. The right teaching of predestination. He predestinated those that he knew would come to Christ to be conformed to the image of his Son. This includes the new birth. This includes justification, being declared righteous, the righteousness of Christ being imputed to the believer at the moment of faith. It includes the call to salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit. It includes glorification, not only the glorification of man being given a new birth, and the glorification of man growing as a Christian, becoming more and more conformed to the image of Christ, includes the ultimate glorification in which there is the redemption of the purchased possession and the body. the sin nature is no longer a part of our flesh, and we have a glorified body. It's all about how we know that God works all things together for good, because God who did this, all of that, we know he works all things together for good. But it goes on to say, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if God be for us, you think of the two sides picking a team for softball or whatever, and the one team says, "We got so and so, we're gonna win. We got so and so, we got the right guy on our team. We're gonna win. That's the key." Well, that's what it's saying. If God be for us. If God's on our side, that's all we need. There's no one greater than God. There's no one bigger than God. There's no one more powerful than God. God is God. If God's on your side, if God's for you, then nobody can be against you. Nobody can be against you. It's everything else is a nobody. Everything else is inconsequential. Who was it? I think it was probably Bob Jones Sr. said, with God, one is a majority. One's a majority. That's all you need, God. And everything else is inconsequential. How do we know? Because God's on our side. He's proven it in the whole plan of salvation and how it's going to be fulfilled, is being fulfilled. And he proved it by the ultimate. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. If God would do that, and God did, God didn't spare his own son, then the conclusion is, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he would do that for us, there's nothing that he won't do for us. That's what it's basically saying. If he did that, then there's nothing he won't do for us. It's so plain. Yes, God does work all things together for good. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to be able to charge us before God? Not possible. It's not possible because God has justified us. He's declared us righteous in Jesus Christ. No one can put anything on our account that will be against us. We've been justified. It says, who is he that condemneth? There's nobody. The only one that condemns us is Christ. But what did Christ do? He died, he rose again, and he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. There's no condemnation. The one only could condemn us is interceding on our behalf. Isn't that great? The whole picture. How do we know? God works all things together for good for them that love God. It's proven over and over in this passage of Scripture. And then he comes to this great plea. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All these very real antagonistic evils. An antagonistic army. Will they be able to separate us from the love of God? That's the question. Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? These are real. A whole army of antagonistic evils meant to separate us from the love of God. And we know that is true, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. If you go to Psalm 44:22, where this is a quote, a particular time in Jewish history, in David's life, the heathen had come to that place, that the saints of God were worthy of extermination. And David says, yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This was the view of the heathen toward the people of God, counting them just to be like sheep for the slaughter. In different times of history, certainly, this is true. Seven great persecutions under the Romans, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd century. Seven great persecutions. And Christians were considered as sheep for a slaughter. I just read this week about the genocide that has been almost erased from the history books. The Holodomor genocide, in which a planned planned genocide by starvation of millions of Ukrainian quote-unquote Christians under the Soviet regime, erased from the history books because of who perpetrated it. Considered sheep as to the slaughter. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. The Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Certainly these are, at the time of the writing, New Testament. This was true. That the Christians were counted as sheep for the slaughter. Just round them up. End their life. They aren't more worthy than just an animal. And in this context, who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? In this context, Paul is writing, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Now you think of the, we'll go to the next verse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We think of this context. The Bible is saying we're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors. In Christ, there's at least a 3 or 4-fold victory. As the enemies of God would seek to slaughter and kill, eliminate the people of God. You know, as you think about it, that's one of the big differences between today and the New Testament. New Testament, this was the context. The context was that the believers constantly faced the possibility of death. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, I think it was that verse that Apostle Paul said, we are killed all the day long. We're appointed, as it were, unto death. First Corinthians, he said, I die daily. There in Ephesus, he was faced with the reality of death every day. You know, we just don't live like that. But the New Testament, that was the context. And you know, I've told the illustration, but it's still a good one. George Evans, in jail for preaching the gospel. And, you know, finally the KJB, they couldn't kill him by putting him in, starving him to death in the concentration camp, or freezing him to death in the concentration camp. Couldn't do it. He didn't die. So they decided they would put him in a jail cell with murderers. And you know, that's a lot of murder takes place in jail. You know, there's Dahmer, he was a murderer, but he went to jail and he got murdered. You know, a lot of murder takes place in jail. You know, a guy told me one time, he says, if you kill once, you can easily kill again. Something in your soul, you pass that barrier. Very serious, sober barrier. But, so they said, we'll put him in a jail cell with notorious murderers. And I don't know what lies they told about him. Maybe they told him he was a pedophile or something. And those kind of people usually get killed. But to put him in a jail cell and four notorious murderers, there's only one place to sleep in the cell, very cramped. And the leader of the four, the most vicious of them, said, you know, as he got into that cell that day, he said, now, tonight we're going to kill you. They meant it. Says, tonight we're going to kill you. And George Evans, a man of God, committed his soul to God, laid on the one cot in the cell, went to sleep. I wonder, could you go to sleep? I don't know if I could. But he went to sleep. And the next morning, this ringleader said, I don't know why we didn't kill you. I don't know why we didn't kill you, but I tell you what, we will tonight. We will tonight. Next night, same thing. George Evans, time to go get some rest, you know. And he prays, lays down on his cot, commits his soul to God, and gives him, you know, puts his life in God's hands and sleeps the night through. Wakes up in the morning, still alive. The guy looks him in the eye and says, I don't know why we didn't kill you, but we are going to kill you tonight. And goes on 2-3 days. And somehow they didn't kill him. Obviously it was God. And finally they said, who are you? What are you in here for? He said, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Really? You're a preacher of the gospel? Prove it. You have a Bible? He said, I have a gospel of Mark in the heel of my shoe. Let me read it, the ringleader said. That night he stayed up all night reading the gospel of Mark. I don't remember the rest of the story, but I know that whether it was that night or after a number of nights reading the gospel of Mark, through the night, the ringleader got saved. He got saved. But the illustration and the rest of them, I think, got saved too. But here was a man who could honestly say, I'm facing death daily. Apostle Paul, he said, I die daily. The threat of death was upon his life every day. Think of missionaries like John Patton, who went to the island of New Hebrides. Every missionary before him, as far as I remember, they got to the beach and they became lunch. But somehow, John Patton escaped lunch. But they still continued to threaten that they would kill him. And they would walk and follow him through the jungle, with murderous intentions, with tomahawks or whatever it was, with the full intention of killing him. And he knew it. But they didn't. And finally they said, "There's something different about you from any other person we've ever met." This is the first time ever they saw love. Never seen it before in their life. And the beginning of great moving of God. But in the New Testament, that was the norm. And many people take the New Testament out of context of its real reality, is to come to Jesus Christ would to be like a sheep for the slaughter. We don't normally see that today. When I was in seminary in 1970s, we had a missionary from the Christian Missionary Alliance. He's about 70 some years of old age there. Headquarters for Southeast Asia was in San Francisco. And he would say there's a great moving of God in Vietnam, especially after the announcement of the pullout. Because everybody who had helped the U.S., they knew they would be dead. They knew they would be dead soon. And there's thousands and thousands of Vietnam people who came to Christ. You know why? They knew they were going to be dead. They knew they were going to be dead. In fact, we were told that certain of the troops, as they got on the ships, the ones that were able to look, that were close enough to the shore, could look back to the shore. And immediately after the departure of the U.S. troops, the pastors were crucified, hanging on crosses on the shores of the sea. Immediately. Sheep for the slaughter. The aim, obviously, of the enemies of God was to separate them from the love of God. The aim was to cause them to renounce their love of God. That was their aim. And as I mentioned in Sunday school, we looked Nathan's family watched the printing last night, and of course it's historical fiction the way it's put together, but I remember the whole principle was someone would be taken to jail, but they wouldn't be taken to jail. They'd be taken to a psychiatric hospital. And they would be treated with drugs. And to cure this disease of God and religion. And the person in particular who was the printer of Bibles had just been in this psychiatric hospital for 2 years to be cured. And immediately, what did he do? Immediately, what did he do? He went back to printing Bibles. Immediately. No second thought. The whole aim was to cause him to denounce the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole purpose was to get this religion out of their system, so to speak. Didn't work. And that's the context that we have here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, danger or the sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. How are we more than conquerors through Him? Through the strength of Christ. How are we more than a conquerors? Number one, the aim of the enemies of God is defeated. The enemy is defeated because their purpose to separate us from the love of God has ended in failure. And does end in failure. Georgi Vind spent 15 years in Soviet prison. They tried to kill him, starve him. Of no effect. Of no effect. Immediately out of prison, back to preaching. Amen. Immediately. No effect. They lost. They lost. They didn't win. They lost. It says we're more than conquerors. Their aim, their purpose was defeated. But it was defeated more than one way. It was defeated in that their aim was defeated. But the victory was not only that, but the victory was, secondly, the fact that in the process, they loved Christ more. They loved Christ more. They experienced the life of Christ in them, in the trial, in the persecution, in the distress. Apostle Paul, as we read that this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how he puts it. He says, verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. The Apostle Paul, how did he say it? He said, the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the Apostle Paul said, I most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength, the grace of Christ may be upon me. The very thing that was meant to destroy them built them. It built their faith. It built their relationship with Christ. It caused them to be able to experience the life of Christ because that's who they now depended upon. Without these trials, they would never had to have it, need that life. They would never need that grace. They would never had the experience of the strength and the growth that came in this trial, was meant for a defeat. Was not only a defeat of the purpose, but It was a victory. The life of Christ was manifest in their life. There was a victory because now their life is a testimony. Their life is a light, just like George Yvins. What is this about you? What is this about you? That light, that life of Christ was revealed. I think it was Tertullian, or who, can't think of it, who said of the Roman persecutions, said the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. The blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church. Because of exactly what it's saying. The aim was to get this religion out of their system. It didn't. It not only didn't get it out of their system, it strengthened their faith. It strengthened their walk with God. They experienced the love of God. More than ever before. I have to say, I don't understand it. I've never been there. But I know, reading about Harlan Popov, persecuted for Christ, horrible, horrible torture. You can read about it, tortured by it for his faith. Harlan Popov, you ought to read that book. You really should. It gives you the, Harlan Popov said, Hitler's concentration camps, which he was in, was like a Sunday school picnic compared to communism. And that's what America's bringing in. Communism. Hatred of God. We're an animal. Evolution, we're just an animal. We're not a person. Just a piece of property. Do whatever you want to it. Harlan Popov, one of the torture methods was that he had to stand in a white corner with a bright light for days at a time. It's meant to drive you crazy. That's what it's meant for, drive you crazy. And he was weakening. He knew he was weakening after a long, long period. And somehow he was given just a few hours of break. I think that if they closed their eyes during those hours, they would take a rifle butt and smash it against his head. Keep him awake. Very horrible. But Harlan Popov, at the very end of his strength, just looked to the Lord. And the love of God flooded his soul. I can't explain. I can't even tell you how real it was. But he tells that the love of God flooded his soul. And he was renewed. He could stand again. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We don't. Most Christianity today is trying to avoid any kind of persecution. They're trying to avoid any kind of conflict with the world, with the heathen world. They want the heathen world's approval. Give me a break. They're not going to approve of the real thing. Never will they approve the real thing. They only want us to compromise. But it says we are more than conquerors. We're conquerors and their aim is defeated. We're conquerors in that His grace is sufficient. And the life of Christ in the trial is made manifest in our life. The victory is not only won in our life and in the circumstances, but the love of Christ, it just increases. Because we've experienced this love. It can't be explained. Must have driven those KJB crazy to throw someone in jail and try to kill them, and then they come out with more fervency than they went in with. Amen? That's only of God. It's because there's a difference between living in your own strength and finding God's strength. That's the difference. But we are more than conquerors, because not only because of all of that, but in the end, what is the purpose of these things? Well, they're working at it. They're working at it. Pretty soon your bank accounts won't be your bank accounts. They're already working at it. Australia, they confiscated property. They took over bank accounts. Organizations like social networking Gab. Can't use Visa, can't use MasterCard. They're closed out of the system. Take away everything you have. But you know what? For the Christian, it's not a defeat. It's another victory. Because at death, everybody loses everything. Right? At death, everybody loses everything. And the Christian, at death, yeah, they gain. For the heathen, they lost all they had. But for the Christian, you can lose all you have on this earth. But they can't take it away, what you really have. Reward in heaven. The Apostle Paul said it works an eternal weight of glory. To be in union with Christ forever and ever. Victory, glory, reward, glory, victory. It's there. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It goes to show there's an even more subtle spiritual battle goes on. The devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He may fill the souls of Judases, and he may fill the souls of wicked men with the idea that the believer is just meant for the slaughter. And the believer, the devil, might even be trying to convince you that God doesn't work all things together for good. That's his aim, isn't it? To cause you to be separated from God. But through Christ, we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. As we respond to all things of life correctly, we not only defeat the devil and have victory, we have multiple victories in our life as we trust and lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm wondering today, do you know the love of Christ? Do you remember the day shortly after you accepted Christ? Now you look back and you said, how could it be that God could love me so much that he would forgive all my sin? Do you remember the day that you began to comprehend God's love for you? How can it be? He spared not his own son. Boy, the devil would somehow like to take that person whom God is calling to salvation, the devil would like to somehow tell them, oh boy, this isn't going to be good. You better avoid this salvation thing. You better hold back. What a lie. Amen? No, it's only the gateway to understanding God's love. Remember the devil in the Garden of Eden? You know what he said to Eve? I'll paraphrase it. He says, you know, you can't eat that tree of knowledge of good and evil because God's not good. He's trying to keep something back away from you. He's not a good God. He's a bad God. Yeah, that's exactly what he's trying to do, right? He's a big liar. God is good. And you know, same thing. Devil says, Christian, don't go all out for God. Don't waste your life. Don't throw away your life. Go all out for God. That's foolishness. God's not good. You'll be the loser. Don't be one of those losers that gives your life all out for God. That's what he's saying, is God isn't good. That's what he's saying. God's not good. You know, you follow God, it's going to be bad. That's the devil's lie even today, isn't it? He's still telling a lie about the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? Admittedly, going forward is by faith. If we could see it, if we could figure it out, it wouldn't be by faith. We have to believe what God said. We need to obey Him. We don't need to know why. We need to know that God is good. And that if we obey Him, it's because He's good and His law is good. It will always be better for us. In the trial, all of us are weak enough and human enough that it's like, oh no. But tribulation worketh experience, and spirits hope, and hope causes the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. Yes, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. More than conquerors. Multiple victories through Jesus Christ. Multiple victories. Today, are you on the doubter side? Or are you on the exclaimer side? I trusted God. I've learned that nothing can separate me from the love of God. The side of victory caused us to know that the love of God never changes. And as we trust Him, we follow Him, we will know it to be so. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You're the living God. In our weakness, Lord, help us. In our doubt, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, not to lean upon the arm of the flesh or the understanding of the darkness of our soul that would cause us to doubt, that would cause us not to trust, that would cause us to fear unnecessarily. But Lord, I pray that You'll give us grace and give Your people grace that the life of Christ might be manifest in them in the trial. And although there might be loss of many things, there won't be the loss of the experience of the love of Christ in their soul. And so, Lord, use Your word in our lives, we pray. We pray for that precious soul that knows not personally the love of Christ. Oh, maybe it's just religion to them. Maybe it's just fanaticism because they've never gotten to the other side. The side of the new birth, the real thing. And Lord, we pray You give grace to Your people. Many are facing trials. And Lord, we know the devil's aim. And not only may his aim be defeated, but might there be multiple victories that are found in Christ. That the life of Christ be manifest in us. That not only will there be glory on the other side, but there will be the light of the glorious gospel shining to the world around us as we trust You. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, The Spirit of God is encouraging you to tell you that nothing shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And by faith, you may need to trust Him. By faith, you will need to look to Him. And in that, you will experience great victory. Perhaps you're here today and God is speaking to you, encouraging you. Say, Pastor, pray with me. I'm thankful that we are more than conquerors through Christ. And He's shown me that today in a special way. Pray with me in this trial. Anyone here today, God has spoken to your heart. Okay. Amen. Perhaps you're here and you're on the other side. You haven't come and experienced the love of Christ. You've not received Him as your Savior. Certainly the devil is trying to stand in the way of the greatest thing could ever happen in your life. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need the real thing. I need a genuine conversion. Not fake stuff, but the real thing. And pray for me that I'd be saved. Anyone here today? God is speaking to your heart. Okay. Praise the Lord for those hands. Now, Lord, we thank You that we are more than conquerors through Christ. And Lord, I pray that Your intended purpose, as given in the Word of God, and this message would be fulfilled in Your people in the trial of life. The aim of the devil would be defeated. The life of Christ be manifest in their lives. And that their love of Christ in it all would just become greater than ever before. Pray for those that need to be saved. Lord, I pray that You deliver them from the lies of the devil, from the doubts of their own darkened mind, and that by faith they would claim the truth of God's Word, based on the fact of Christ's death and Calvary's cross. They know that You want to save them. That they would know that You can save them. And that they know that it is real. We pray Your will be accomplished. Bless the invitation. Be with those, Lord, listening to live stream even today. That even in the quietness of this moment, they would make that decision to trust You, to respond to Your Spirit as they ought. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.